My name's Elliot Trahan. I work at the Mayor's Office. I look after air quality and green transport at City Hall, working closely with London's boroughs and Transport for London to bring about some real improvements in the air quality that we have and experience here in London. And what I want to do today is just talk a little bit about why improving air quality is so important, why we think it's become such a big political priority for the Mayor and for others. I want to talk a little bit about the Mayor's programme of action to improve air quality, and then I want to talk about the further action that's needed beyond what the Mayor can actually do. And obviously this is a very timely discussion in the context of the general election. So I always love to start, and it's really impossible not to start if you're talking about air quality in London, with pictures of the Great Smog, and to try and give a sense of the history of air pollution in this city, because I think this is really important to show, because it reminds us as policymakers and as people who influence the policy agenda that it is actually possible to tackle pollution successfully and to bring about improvements. And the reason I show this picture is because then I can show this picture, which of course shows how we took what was an oil-fueled power station and turned it into a modern art gallery. And as you can see, in terms of some of the challenges that we faced in the past with air pollution, things like sulfur dioxide, things like lead, there have been very significant improvements. But as we all know, we continue to face challenges with the air that we breathe. And one of the biggest and kind of the most topical at the moment, of course, is nitrogen dioxide. It's important to bear in mind we still have issues with PM. We want to continue to drive improvement in PM because of the health benefits. But in terms of legal compliance, a lot of the discussion that you'll be hearing about in the newspapers at the moment is very much focused on nitrogen dioxide. And I wanted to show this map because it's really important that we understand it in its proper context. Well, London has very high levels of NO2. This is not just a London problem. It's a problem in many cities across the UK. And crucially, it's also a problem in many cities across Europe. And part of the reason for that is some of the choices that policymakers and regulators have made in terms of things like vehicle emissions, and specifically diesel. Many of you will be aware of Dieselgate and the issues around that. And it's important to remember that while London action is absolutely critical, that needs to be taken in the context of national and European action as well. So what does it look like in London? This is a map of concentrations in 2013, which was the base year of the London Atmospheric Emissions Inventory. And what you can see is anything basically in yellow or red or purple is exceeding the legal limit. And you can really see in stark relief central London, inner London, the major road network, and especially at the top there, the North Circular Road really stands out. And of course, that little yellow blob in the corner, which is Heathrow. So as I start talking about some of the interventions that the Mayor's identified, this gives a bit of context about why we've adopted the approach that we have. And in terms of understanding emissions, what the major causes of pollution in London are, this is quite a good way of encapsulating it. You can see around 50% of the problem is from road transport. And if you look at this pie, you can see roughly around 95%, you know, in the high 90s, is from diesel road transport. But we also have this whole other half of the pie of other sources of pollution. And what's critical to remember is as we get better and better at tackling road transport, where the Mayor has quite a lot of influence, it becomes the other sources become a greater share of the overall pie. And the Mayor really needs new powers, additional powers, to effectively tackle those. And some that really stand out, of course, non-road mobile machinery, basically construction equipment. You've got, obviously, domestic and commercial gas use, so basically boilers and how we heat and supply energy to our homes and offices. And we really need enhanced tools to tackle those. So the good news is that the measures that we have in place already, and also the transformation that we're expecting to see in the vehicle fleet as we move to a much more effective Euro 6 standard, which will hopefully happen with real-world driving emissions, is that you see an improvement in air quality in London. But what remains is central London very much clearly exceeding. You still have that inner London halo effect. You've got the road network standing out, and you, of course, keep that big blob in the corner, which is Heathrow. So why has air quality become such a big driver and such a big political issue in London and indeed across Europe and across the world? I wanted to highlight two of the key issues for the Mayor. I'll let others, I'm sure Frank always does a fantastic job of explaining the health analysis and the health impacts, and we'll go into that in more detail. But I did just want to highlight two statistics from a report that was done for the Mayor's Office by King's College London, which looked at the estimates of trying to understand the health impact of long-term exposure to pollution. And this report was quite innovative because it combined not just the impacts of PM, but also looked at the impacts of NO2. And what this did was use a whole series of statistical tools to basically estimate that the equivalent of around 9,400 deaths caused by long-term exposure to air pollution. And obviously, these statistics always need to be used with a little caution, but this is a really helpful tool for us to try and explain to people about the impact that pollution has on individuals and on life across London. And another statistic which I think is really powerful, which comes from the same report, is about how that affects particularly the young and particularly life opportunities. And life expectancy, broadly speaking, if you average it out, affects a child born in 2010 and exposed to that level of pollution for its entire life would lose 2.2 years of life expectancy if male, or 2 years if female. And again, a statistical device, but a very useful tool in trying to explain the impact that air pollution has. But in reality, we know that the impacts of air pollution actually fall across the community as a whole. But within that, it falls disproportionately hard on some of our most vulnerable communities, more deprived groups, people from ethnic minorities, those living in a London in some of the most deprived areas. And as a result, I think if you're the mayor and you're looking at air pollution as an issue, it's not just an environmental issue, it's not just a health issue with economic costs. Fundamentally, it's an issue about social injustice, and tackling it is a way of addressing some of the really severe health inequalities that we experience in the city. So how are we doing? So every year the GLA does a big survey, it's called the State of London Survey, which tries to assess across a whole range of different topics what members of the public think of as important and how they think we're doing. Something that's in the top right-hand corner of this graph is something that people would think is really important and is something that they think is being handled really well. Unfortunately for us currently, if you look at air quality, that's something people think is really important, but they're not satisfied in terms of the way that we're handling it. Obviously, the mayor spent the last year setting out a very ambitious agenda and implementing improvements, which I'll come on to. So what we're hoping to see is that when we repeat this survey this year, that we'll actually be starting to make some progress in terms of reassuring people about how important the issue of air quality is and how seriously we're taking it. So as I said, the mayor came in. One of the really exciting things about being a policymaker in the air quality world at the moment is the sheer amount of focus, particularly in the mayor's office, to tackling this issue. Since he came to power, the budget that we have to tackle air quality in London has been more than doubled, from around £425 million to £875 million. There's real commitment to making the measures that I'm about to run through really, really get delivered and really have a very significant impact. But crucially, one of the things that the mayor has highlighted in his design of these policies and in the approach that we're taking is to make sure that we're tackling the issue of diesel. And many of you are aware of the challenges that we face with diesel vehicles, particularly due to the poor regulation and the ineffective way that Euro standards have tackled nitrogen oxide emissions from vehicles, particularly from smaller light vehicles. So we had one of the first things that the mayor said when he did his big event to mark the 60th anniversary of the Clean Air Act was to say, we now have to face the reality that if we are going to come close to tackling air pollution in London, we have to tackle the problem of dirty diesels too. It's not just about diesel, but a strategy which doesn't include an effective approach to kind of encouraging people to shift to cleaner vehicles is not going to be effective enough. So that's at the heart of what we're trying to do. And we start by leading by example. And one of the things that we're doing is transforming our bus fleet. By 2020, the entire bus fleet will meet the Euro 6 standard. To help deliver that, from 2018, we're saying we won't be purchasing any new diesel vehicles. It will only be hybrid, hydrogen, or electric. And we've got some very exciting proposals we're currently working on about how we can then deliver further improvements to the bus fleet, which we'll be revealing in the new Mayor's Transport Strategy, which will be coming out in the next few months. Taxes, obviously iconic and important kind of form of public transport in London, but also very polluting individual vehicles. So what we've been doing is working with a whole range of different stakeholders, the industry, with manufacturers, to develop zero emission capable taxis and putting in place the funding solution needed to help encourage their uptake, to help this industry switch to the cleanest vehicles available so they become one of the greenest industries in London. A whole range of other interventions that we're doing, including low emission neighbourhoods, where we're kind of encouraging people to switch to electric vehicles, low emission and kind of zero emission delivery and servicing, installing green infrastructure, promoting cycling, as you can see with the embankment cycle superhighway, tackling freight, which is a growing kind of source of vehicle movement in London and is something that can be done much more efficiently than currently is through the use of technology and consolidation, and also by making sure that we provide the right kind of information to Londoners during periods of very poor air quality so they can actually be empowered to reduce their exposure, to reduce their air quality footprint, but also to demand change so that those kind of episodes are less and less frequent. The really big ticket measures that the Mayor's introduced and that have been kind of the focus of the work that we've been doing so far are starting off with what this is being rebranded the T charge or the emission surcharge, the congestion charge, which is basically a stepping stone to the ultra low emission zone. And this will come into effect from the 23rd of October this year, and it'll be a £10 surcharge on the congestion charge for basically, broadly speaking, pre-2006 vehicles, older polluting vehicles. And then what we want to do on that, on top of that, is we've just started consulting on bringing forward the ultra-low emission zone. And the ultra-low emission zone takes the T-charge as its base and then tightens the standard for diesel vehicles up to the Euro 6 standard. And it'll start in central London, and it'll cost, if you don't meet that standard, you'll have to pay £12.50 a day to go into the ultra-low emission zone, or if you're a heavy vehicle like a bus, a coach, or a lorry, it'll be £100 a day. And then what we want to do after introducing that in April 2019, subject to consultation, is to expand that London-wide for heavy vehicles so that all Londoners can benefit from ensuring that heavy diesel vehicles like buses, coaches and lorries have to meet that Euro 6 standard. And then in 2021, the Mayor's proposing that we expand to inner London up to the North-South Circular. The precise boundary is still being defined for cars, vans and motorbikes as well. And if you remember back to the very beginning where I showed you the map of London, the heat map showing the concentrations, that actually mirrors a little bit of the pattern that you saw with that very, very dense high exceedances in central London, the kind of problem in inner London, and then still issues on the road network in outer London, where much of the activity and much of the pollution is actually caused by heavy vehicles. So that's the kind of rationale behind our approach. Obviously, it's not just about transport. There's a whole range of different interventions we're looking at in the planning system, major development being air quality positive, promoting the retrofit of existing building, tackling emissions from construction sites, providing support for local communities and local measures through the Mayor's Air Quality Fund. So we're actually currently working on the London Environment Strategy, which brings together these six strategies into one. And this is a really exciting opportunity for us actually to integrate the work that we're doing to set out this comprehensive approach, but also to work out how we can use air quality as a tool to tackle other problems we might have, like CO2, climate change, and noise, and actually avoid some of the issues that we had in the past, where a focus on one issue, in this case, climate change, resulted in dieselisation, the promotion of biomass. As policymakers, we really want to learn from some of those lessons of the past. And through the London Environment Strategy, we have a really exciting opportunity to tie it all together and to make sure we have an integrated approach which tackles pollution, but also delivers benefits and creates a much more livable city across the board. The last point I just want to make is it's great that the Mayor is so committed to this. The Mayor is going to be setting out these very ambitious and bold strategies. But the Mayor by himself cannot solve London's air quality problem. Some of the most effective tools, including things like fiscal tools, fiscal incentives, are controlled and are controlled alone by the government. And the danger is, unless we have some really ambitious, bold and clear national policies, all the activity that you could get at local level could be either undermined or alternatively, countermanded in many ways because you're not getting the national policies pulling in the same direction. And so the last piece of the puzzle, from my perspective, is making sure that we have a government who puts in place a really strong and ambitious plan, which includes things like the reform of fiscal incentives, a national diesel scrappage fund, and a new Clean Air Act to give mayors across the country those additional powers I was talking about to tackle the 50% of emissions which are from non-road transport sources. And as many of you are aware, tomorrow, this is a perfectly timed debate, the government will be going back to the High Court. They'll be arguing about why a delay to the publication of their air quality plan is needed. And Client Earth, who's been a very powerful and very influential lobby group, illegal lobby group who took the government to court, will be making the case about why urgent action is so important and about why the government needs to bring forwards the kind of measures I was just talking about. So tomorrow's going to be a very exciting day. Just basically to recap, it is possible for us to actually put in place measures which address the problems we face. They are not unsolvable problems. But it does take ambition, it does take bold measures. In London, working with the mayor, we're starting to put those in place and we're going to have some very exciting strategies. But what's absolutely critical and what the missing piece of the puzzle currently is to make sure that that is matched by bold and consistent national action. Thank you very much.